can't believe this is happening.
It's a disaster.
How did this happen?
Tommy Little presents...
Oh, it's an absolute
flustercuck.
G'day, legends. Tommy Little here. I know that when things go well, it can be funny. But when things go absolutely pear-shaped, it can be way funnier. So this is a show about those moments. Those moments that you get to the end of and you just look back and go, well, that was an absolute cluster.
Oh, it's an absolute
flustercuck.
My guest today did Triple J Breakfast 4 years, and he is back now with his Matt and Alex all-day breakfast show available on Podcast One. He's a great comedian. It's Matt O'Kine. Matt O'Kine, how the bloody hell are you?
I'm going to close my... we've got the Zoom echo happening here. I'm going to close that. There we go. You'd think it was my first day of radio.
But I need your face. I need your face.
Oh, no, you do need my face. All right, sorry. Yeah, here we go. All right. So I swear, I've been doing this job, various forms of this job for...
Years and years.
Here we go.
I've never had such an instant... That was 1 second. Matt O'Kine, and then just boom.
Look, bit of a rookie move. I'm sorry. I closed that laptop as if I was wanking. Do you know what I mean? Like as if you just walked in on me doing something dodgy.
Yeah, for some reason, your dad's using your full name when he's walked in the room and gone, Matt O'Kine, you've gone bang.
Me, nothing, no. My, it's, yeah. So I've never been busted doing that actually, which is good.
So, you know, I think I've had something that's worse.
What?
My mum opened the door on me and I was reading, and I have no reason to lie to you about this. I was reading a Ralph magazine and she saw that and went, oh my God, and slammed the door shut. And it was such a panic because I thought, do I run out there and go, I wasn't wanking? Like, is that better?
Yeah. I just wanted to read the jokes. I used to collect those quite a lot because I worked at a news agency. But that was good days when you got to rip the front cover off those and take the mags home.
Absolutely. So you've never been caught in the act?
No. And I've also tell you what else I've done. I've quit porn. I don't want to go straight. I mean, I don't want this to be too much of a, you know, blokey chat as soon as we start. So apologies if you think that's where it's gone. But I quit porn a long time ago. Don't like it.
I tell you what, if we're at the bottom of the blokey scale, if the end result is I haven't been caught wanking and you've quit porn. It's like a really reformed...
This is what being a man in 2020 is like, you know what I mean? It's like porn, nut, never heard of it, don't know what you're talking about. Disgusting.
Wanking? No, I was reading. Why have you quit?
There's some proper social... socially scientific reasons that I believe that porn is not very. I think, you know, it's like a superhero's powers. When used in the wrong hands, damage can be done, and that damage can sometimes not be undone. And I think often, I think it's not necessarily a great influence on especially younger men. But I think that overlapses into, adulthood. When I was growing up, you know, I remember going down to the local news agency and looking over the shoulder of some guy who would be reading, you know, a picture magazine and you'd maybe catch a glimpse of some sort of pubic hair and some nipples. And that was enough at the time, you know?
Yeah.
And now got a whole... You know, you find people who are stuck down these holes and they can't get off unless someone's getting choked, you know? It's terrifying.
And it's not even social. At least you were doing it with someone else. You know, you were getting outside. There was another stranger
getting
involved.
Getting some bit D as well, you know, on the walk to and fro.
Supporting local business.
That's just a personal thing. I've got nothing against people who choose to partake in it. I certainly have nothing against the people who choose and are willful participants in the filming and performing of it.
I understand. I think what you're saying is the broader societal problems you think outweigh your personal gains from it.
Yes, exactly. You've summed it up very well, and I feel like you've considered it yourself.
I have, and I hope to one day be as
as noble as me. Oh, hey. Bow before me, peasants, Tommy. Trust me. It's a good view from up here.
Bollocks. I bet after this, you'll call me back and you're like, hey, can you watch porn and I can wank over your shoulder? Hey, Matt O'Kine, do you have a time when it's all gone pear-shaped?
Yes, I certainly do. And, you know, speaking of being a young boy, I think that's when you tend to make a lot of your biggest mistakes.
Yeah.
Turn of the century, year 2000 in high school. I was in year 10. And I, you know, wanted the older kids to like me, to think I was cool. I wanted the older girls to like me, to think I was cool. And so a lot of that revolved around interactions at parties. And there was no way to be liked more than to be the person on Saturday night who is holding the party.
Yeah.
So this was really when ICQ was the main megaphone for communications online.
A chat, is that like MSN, ICQ?
ICQ was like the precursor to MSN. Essentially, it was you send individual kind of almost like email style messages. It was like Instagram's inbox. Like it was just like DMs. That was it.
Right. A pager, an electric, like a pager.
Yeah, you know, it was like DMs. It was just like exclusively okay. DMs.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And
I don't know why I went back further. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Like, yeah, it's like messenger pigeons. Do you know what I mean? It's like you tie messenger pigeons. Old scrolls to birds' feet. So I let people know that my dad was going fishing. Dad was going fishing and I had, you know, I really wanted to impress the older grades and the older girls. And so I decided to have a party and the word of this party sort of spread around ICQ. This was pre-Corey Worthington days where things could get fully out of control.
Yeah.
But there was enough word spread around the upper grades within my school to know that my place was going to be the place to be on Saturday night. Now, probably the biggest mistake I made. Yes, and you know, knowing as you know now.
Yeah, it's such a it's such a spiky thing because it's such a two-edged sword. Like because on one hand, the potential for it going bad is obviously huge, but on the other hand, like you said, you're the man of the moment.
Yeah, for that weekend. I mean, if everyone's saying, "Oh, it's all going down at so and so's place," then. I mean, look at Corey. He's still got it. You know what I mean? He's still got it. So word got around and people start trickling in. Now, the biggest mistake I made, went a little too hard, a little too early. It's a mistake that many people have made right around the world for as long as parties have happened.
Yeah, and prime time for you're at this stage 15 or 16, or that's really your window for realizing, oh, I can't skull Jim Beam.
Well, there's ramifications for excessive consumption of anything, food, drink, whatever. So porn, whatever, right? So the problem with on this particular day is that I'd only been eating orange twisties for the whole day. And I had pre-party nerves. You know, no matter how old you get, I'm sure when you're 50 years old and you're having your 50th, there's still that little bit in you that thinks, oh no, no one's turning up. Nobody loves me. This is going to be a disaster. I'm going to be embarrassed forever. So I think that's what you sort of tied over those nerves with probably a few too many drinks. But also then you have the twisties. Anyway, I ended up vomiting.
So are people there at this stage?
People are coming in at this stage.
Right.
Mainly my close friends. But I end up I end up vomiting, and because I'd only eaten twisties that day, my vomit was a shade of orange that's never really been discovered before, I don't think. Because you know, spew is already orange. And twisties are so orange. And this was an orange that I don't think you could describe in words. And I didn't clean it up. It just sat on the carpet next to my bed.
Oh, inside?
This is in my bed. Sorry, I'd sort of crashed by this stage, and it happened in my bedroom next to the bed. And then I slept. And people came to the party.
Yeah.
People really, really came to the party.
And I missed the moment.
I missed all of it. I missed the whole thing, right? The whole party. So I wake up. Dad's gone fishing. I'm by myself with my sort of, you know, one or two best mates. I go downstairs. I'm like, so how was the party? They're like, oh, it was big, dude. It was really big. And I was like, oh, what did I miss? And I look around the house and the level of destruction is something that still makes my bones shake thinking about how my dad must have reacted. Because here's the thing, I was just me with my friends. My dad wasn't there, hadn't come home yet. And I looked around. Someone had tagged an entire bedroom wall with their graffiti tag, right? In biro. So I don't mean just once. I mean from ceiling to floor, wall to wall, they had repeatedly tagged, like they'd done a full mural, basically. Yeah. They'd done a full mural on one of the bedroom walls, right?
Do you remember the tag?
No, I can't remember, but I know the guy's name. His name was Moses. So I'm sure that
Moses?
It was.
Moses? That's the lesser story we hear. We hear all about the parting the seas. We don't hear so much about tagging the wall at the house party.
So out the back, someone had started a bonfire and thrown my bike into it. My dad's a dentist, and he has a lot of plastic rubber gloves, have. Someone took one of those rubber gloves, pooped into their hand wearing the glove, and then wrote on the next door neighbor's car, FU, and then left the pooped glove in their letterbox.
Oh, man.
And there was, like, glasses broken, everything. Like, the place is completely trashed. And my friend said, like, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't really know. Like, I was kind of shaking at this point because I knew I was going to be in so much trouble. And he said, look, my dad's going to come and pick us up. We're going to the rugby out at Ballymore. So we can't really stay and clean up. Is there anything we can do before we go or whatever? And then their dad came to pick them up. And they said, look, do you want to come with us to the footy? And I looked around at the place and it was completely destroyed. And I knew my dad was coming home soon. And I heard the car coming down the driveway. And I just looked at my friend and said, yep, all right, let's go. And I snuck out the back and went to the football. And I mean, as far as being the biggest, just shittest person in the world goes, I reckon I really nailed it at that point.
Yeah.
I remember I remember freaking out about what Dad was going to do when I came home.
Is this before mobiles?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there was contact.
So you're out of contact. Yeah,
I just had gone. You know?
Yeah.
And I remember walking down the driveway at 6 a.m. and it was one of those things, you know when sheer disappointment just overwhelms any kind of anger that they have? Like, I remember him sitting on his chair in the kitchen just in silence when I walked in, just like, and it was just like, what have I done to you? You know, I remember him looking at me just going, what did I do to deserve this? I just wanted to go crabbing. I wanted to catch a crab, and now Moses is written on the wall 100 times. There's a burnt bike in the backyard, and every neighbour is visited, including one with FU written in shit on their car. And there is an orange stain on the carpet upstairs that turns out we could not remove for the lifetime of that carpet. So that only went just recently, actually, when Dad got the carpets changed.
Oh, man.
That's just one of the,
Was there a punishment? Was he a grounding dad? Was it anything like that? Or was the disappointment more than any punishment could be?
I think at that stage I think if there was like military school in Australia, I probably would have got you hear the old school, like, I'm going to send you to military school. I think I probably deserved that the most. It was really just the disappointment. And you know what? And it was also guess what? You're not like, I'm never leaving the house ever again kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he, any time. I could have one person come over, even now, as a 35-year-old man. Hey, Dad, my friend Bill's going to come around. He'll be like, oh, yeah? Okay. Is Bill going to shit into a glove and wipe it on next to a neighbour's car? No, Dad! He's not going to do that, I promise.
And you've weirdly got to tell him, hey, Bill, I know you're probably not going to, mate, but just please don't if you're thinking
There's
about
one
it.
Thing you got to not do, please. Oh man. I feel so terrible.
I thought that was going to be the one redeeming bit. Like, it was all such kind of senseless vandalism. But then I thought when you said the dentist thing, I was picturing hopefully a light bit of vandalism. I thought it was going to be they ran around with, like, false teeth in their mouth or something that your dad had on display. And then when you, like, they shoot into a glove, I'm like, oh, no.
No, just worse. Yeah. No, it wasn't like someone's pulling a prank by going around and checking everyone's fillings, you know. Like, it was the worst kind of thing you could possibly do. And, I mean, you know, the worst thing about these sort of things is you recount them and you really truly realise as an adult how just blatantly awful that must have been for, like, as a parent now. I'm just thinking, like, it would be heartbreaking. You'd just think, what did I do?
As a parent now, is the more heartbreaking step the party itself or the fact that you went to the football?
Well, that's it, that I didn't even front up, that I didn't even drag the recycling bin to the front door and just start turfing things in. Like, that's the least you could do, you know, or like put up a bed sheet on the wall that was graffitied and be like, hey, I'm thinking of doing art, you know, I'm going to paint this white sheet, something crazy, just, you know, I'll reveal it all tomorrow.
Smear your shit on some other things and go, hey, I'm thinking of doing art.
Yeah, exactly. See, instead I just went to the footy at Ballymore and you know what? Karma will get me. I know it will. I've got a one-year-old daughter and you know, today, just trying to give her lunch, she just started throwing her lunch against the wall and laughing. And immediately I thought, yeah, you deserve this. It's going to come back in increments.
Well, that's quite literally the before shot of the shit against the wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. She'll be doing that soon, very soon as well. So, yeah, you know, I do feel like a bad person.
Man, it's so great. This whole thing, I know at the time it was a bad experience for you, but this is why I love these stories.
Yeah, well, you learn from them, don't you?
Even if you don't.
Hey, you learn, have a bit more than orange twisties before the big night out. That's what you have.
Hey, before I let you go, it's so exciting to have Matt and Alex back.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited. We get to do a podcast that you can listen to every weekday, and it comes out at 6 a.m. It's an all-day breakfast show, so it feels just like breakfast, but you can listen whenever you want. All the craziness and excitement and fun that me and Alex have always brought to our shows, really awesome interviews, funny sketches, dumb jokes, great talk back, everything that I love about radio, and I'm so glad to be back. So, yeah, thank you very much. You can get on Podcast One, on your Podcast One app. It's called Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast, or you can get it wherever you get your potties.
Matt O'Connor, you're a legend. Thank you, mate.
Hey, thanks, Tommy. All the best, mate.
I can't believe this is happening.
It's a disaster.
How did this happen?
Tommy Little presents...
Oh, it's an absolute
flustercuck.